for flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Troll?
Present.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Present.
Why don't we do it over again?
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Tonight we have some special orders of business, but first of all, I would like to say welcome to Mayor Sally Smith. She was some of our mayor way early on in our careers. I know Mr. Wanamaker, myself, and a few others. So welcome, Sally. Thanks for coming. Tonight we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to recognize a couple of outgoing assembly members, Mr. Smith and Mr. Wanamaker. We're going to recognize a couple of newly elected officials coming on board and swearing them in, Ms. Gladysuski and Ms. Debbie White. We're going to do the selection of our deputy mayor tonight, and if everything turns out as expected, you can throw a wrench in the joint. It's okay. If everything turns out as expected, we'll do committee assignments tonight also. If not, we'll wait for committee assignments for a couple of days. We'll see how it goes. Well, I guess I'll just start with saying a couple words about Mr. Smith, or is it Mr. Jones? Take your pick. This is an internal joke that their mayor seems to never get quite straight, and I've called Mr. Smith Mr. Jones many, many times. And I want to say, I do know your name, and I know who you are, Mr. And I truly appreciate everything that he's done for us on the Assembly over his terms here with us on the Assembly. I know that he truly, you know, loves his community and wants to see good things happen to his community, and that's what he's brought to the table for us. He's been very active and very participative. Good debater, back and forth, not necessarily all the time do each one of us agree on things, but we bring different perspectives to the table, which makes a better community for all of us, I think. So, Mr. Smith, I just want to say thank you to you. Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Wanamaker has been around, I think the term is since time immemorial, even with us. So I remember coming on the Assembly 13, 14 years ago. I was on the Planning Commission for 3 or 4 years before that, and Mr. Wanamaker was here during all that time frame, and we've worked together on a lot of different issues, and we've not seen eye to eye on every single issue either. And again, that's what makes up a good Democratic Assembly, is the people sitting up here able to debate back and forth, give their input into the debate, and having others give their input into the debate. We usually end up with a better document or a better ordinance or a better law in the end because of that. Mr. Wanamaker has been right there in all of the hard fights over the past just about 15 years and has truly been a dedicated servant to our city and borough. I can't say enough about his feeling for his community, because it is there and it shows in all things that he does. He's very appreciative of the process that we have, and he keeps us on the straight and narrow sometimes. Right, Mr. Wanamaker? And does a good job for us, and we're going to truly miss both of these gentlemen. So, first of all, what I want to do is recognize, I think, their spouses first. And we have in our audience Marsha, and we have Karen. And we want to give you guys an appreciation and in all the suffering.
that you're going to have a vote room from now on. By having to put up with these gentlemen on what more of the hours. That's the best part. We also have, in appreciation to our outgoing assembly members, a couple of things. And Mr. Smith and Mr. Wanamaker, will you guys step up front here with us? We bought gifts for Mr. Wanamaker several times in the past. It gets a little bit harder to find the appropriate. Some of the staff up in the office came up with the idea for these two things, and I think you guys are going to both truly like them. I'll let you open that one. I'll let you open this one. So these are tiñadas, and these show the wealth of the person, not only physical wealth, but the wealth in friendships that they have made in the past many years in our community and to our community. And this is part of both of their cultures, and I would be proud to be able to wear one of those. They are both beautiful, and they are copper, which is shows the true wealth part of it, I think. Thank you very much, Carlton. So we're not done with them yet. Is there anybody else on the assembly from the old guard or the new guard that's here wish to say, make any comments about these two unworthy servants of the company? Mr. Nagler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'd like to speak to Mr. Smith. A lot of folks listen to the meetings, and they talk to me about hearing our meetings online and stuff and say, I don't hear Mr. Smith say very much during any of these meetings. I said, well, he's got a great sense of humor. I said, you should just hear them when we get out of the meetings or when the microphone's off. And they don't believe me. But if you went the trip to Skagway a couple of years ago, where Mr. Smith took his little friend with him and his brother showed up, you would know what I'm talking about. And to Mr. Smith, I would like to say thank you for keeping the levity in and around the meetings during your attendance. I appreciate that. He was very serious, but he also knew that sense of humor is important. And Mr. Wanamaker, the mayor also spoke about process, and I often get the opportunity to drive you home in the evenings after the meeting, and I enjoyed those times. And I can't express the amount of caring that you also have for this community. That came out in your comments on the way home every night. It comes out when you sat on the assembly. And your attention to process and making sure we do everything right, saying that we can always do things right, and folks might not agree with what we do, but we have to do it right, or they can disagree with it just based on that fact. And I would like to thank you for mentoring me in the process as well, and for your both of you for your time in service to this community. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Mr. Jones.
Carlton and I got to know each other in a campaign 3 years ago, which he beat me. I didn't hold that against him, but I have appreciated the friendship. I have appreciated serving with you, and you have done a great service for our community, and I really appreciate that. Mr. Wanamaker, You've served a long time, and there's a lot of history you bring. I remember sitting in the back often listening to the debate, listening to you, and some lessons I learned and some lessons I didn't want to learn. But I have appreciated all of your service in this community. And a lot of the work you have done with the Indianapolis Memorial down the way, and I saw you on the movie The Empty Chair the other night and really got more of a sense of who you are and your service and your life in this community. And I really appreciate getting to know you. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Anyone else? Ms. Becker.
Well, these are really two favorite people of mine on this assembly. I mean, everyone's a favorite, but they are real special, you know.
Mother liked me best.
Yeah. But definitely from Randy, I have learned a lot. I've continued to learn, and I will be definitely missing you. And when I first started, I used to call him quite a few times, didn't I? Just, you know, Randy, what about this? What does this mean? And I think I've grown a little bit over the years, but it's been a big help to have you, especially sitting right next to me, too. I really appreciate you, and I'll miss you a lot. And, Carl, you are a wonderful friend. I've really appreciated you, too. And I think Jerry said what I will miss a lot about you is traveling and having the fun that we had up in Skagway, because maybe we'll just have you come sometime for an entertainment. Maybe we'll,
Thank you for that.
But you have added such a depth to our discussions that I have really appreciated, and I will definitely miss your counsel on this assembly. So best of luck to both of you. I know we're going to see you more. Yeah.
So. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Three years ago, when I was first elected to this assembly, I alongside Mr. Smith and Mr. Wanamaker both, I had the opportunity to reflect that it was, as near as I could tell, the most diverse city and borough of Juneau assembly that we'd ever had. There were three women, three Alaska Natives. Not everybody was the same religion, and none of those three categories overlapped in any one person across the nine of us. And speaking to both of you together, your departure this evening leaves a real gap in the perspectives on this assembly that we will be challenged to fill, because you have certainly taught me a very great deal and added a perspective that I don't have. And I have valued that very much. Mr. Smith, your expertise in your field is unrivaled. The things that I have learned in specific and the perspectives you have brought to your approach to an important area of the commerce of this community, I've learned a tremendous amount. And I have learned to think better about those things. And as Ms. Becker alluded to, I may well be on your telephone going forward. Mr. Wanamaker, I never cease to be stunned by the incredible breadth of experience you have. There are so many topics we'll be discussing, and you will say, you know, at one point I worked in that field, and then proceed to have detailed and specific knowledge about those things that just drops my jaw. I have learned, it's difficult even to list, you know, from geology to climate science to any number of other things. Sitting next to you has really been an honor and a privilege. And I will miss your perspectives and your remarkable breadth and depth of experience.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Crane.
I will just second what the others have said and say I appreciate the experience that both people have brought to the assembly, their knowledge as well. Those of us sitting here know how much work the assembly really is, and we appreciate the work that both of you have put into this. I think the community doesn't really know how much goes into really serving here. And so I appreciate all that both of you have done and getting to know both of you a lot better. Like Jerry, I shared some rides home with Randy, and I told him last week I'm going to miss those talks because I've learned a lot from just driving around with Randy.
He's going to come to the meetings and ride home with you again.
Fine with me.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Ms. Kroll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do want to ditto a lot of the comments made here. For me, Mr. Wanamaker, your historical perspective has been a real value. As a new person coming on, it was really important to hear that perspective, and I really appreciated that. Super appreciated your attention on the Public Works Committee. You know, it was really nice knowing that when something had gone through the Public Works Committee and had come before us, it was really thoroughly vetted, and I very much appreciated that. Mr. Smith, I had the great pleasure of sitting next to you, and like Jerry said, I appreciate your sense of humor. There were several times when he would lean over to me and say, "That was a lot of fuss about nothing." And I didn't know if he meant that was my fuss or something. <You know? laughs> But getting back to the comment that Mr. Keel made, you were always there to present the business community's perspective on things, and it was. A very valuable perspective, and I wish you both well, and I'm glad I had the pleasure of serving with you, even though it was only for 1 year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Mr. Smith.
Thought we'd never get there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I know. Hurry it up now, please, Mr. Smith.
I'll try to keep this brief, and I'll try to be funny. How's that? Ms. Troll, Mr. Dibdahl, he handed off the nuts and bolts of city government. I want you to have that. I expect you to be turning the nuts and bolts during future meetings. I want to compliment you on your ability to ask very, very, very well thought out questions, and you obviously do your homework. Mr. Nan Curvis, your sense of humor supersedes mine. And I want to thank you for bringing your perspective of public safety into this assembly. It's a very important time for us in that regard, and you do a great job. Mr. Jones, nobody attends more meetings than Lauren Jones, even when he's out of town. But I want to thank him for volunteering, stepping up, volunteering, and serving as a hearing officer on some of these very difficult issues come before the assembly. Karen Crane really deserves our continued recognition for finance, just doing a great job as finance chairman, and I thank her so much for that. Mr. Keel, I started to say I love you, man. But thank you for your service on human resources and your dedication to housing issues. Mr. Wanamaker, I'm going to skip over you. Ms. Becker, thank you for being a great vice mayor. You've done a great job. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for the leadership you've given the Southeast community, Southeast Conference, and to this body, to the clerk and her staff, to the manager and her staff. We know now that you serve more than 37 and a half hours a week, and we thank you for that. And my wife, Marcia, thank you for giving up a few of those nice Sundays and those evenings. Appreciate that very much. And now, Mr. Wanamaker, I've known you for 35 wonderful years, and half of that time you have served on this assembly. And I can say with confidence that no one in the history of this body has said no more than Rand Corbin. And I say this in the following spirit. This man speaks with conviction. He says no, and he means no. But there's a takeaway here for everyone in this room. There's a takeaway for the community of Juneau. In these stressful economic times that are upon us, we as an assembly, we as a community are going to have to get more comfortable with the word no. And when Mr. Dibdahl left this seat, he shared with each of us a glass, and he said it's the glass half full. I would like to think it's still the glass half full, but we're going to have to become more comfortable with saying no until the revenues of the state and the municipality become more stable. And I say this because I'd like to see Juneau a more affordable town. I'd like it to be comfortable for seniors and for young people, but we've got to have that discipline going forward. Thank you very much and good night.
Thank you.
And last but not least, our senior member, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to express my appreciation to the citizens of the City and Borough of Juneau and to the staff of the City and Borough of Juneau and all of its supporting agencies for the privilege of allowing me to serve as an assembly member for 12 years and for their work to support me in providing me with information to help form assembly decisions. I wish all of you well, and I bid you all a fond farewell. Thank you.
Okay, you two, wrap up your stuff and get out of here. Are you guys going to stay and listen to the rest of the meeting?
Zoom.
Good luck.
Probably not.
Oh, I'm going to stay a minute.
You are going to stay a minute. Okay.
The next item on the agenda is swearing in of the newly elected officials. So if we can have, and Mr. Keel, you don't have to get sworn in again because you're really truly sworn in already. But if you wish to stand with the other two new assembly members and swear in again, that's up to you.
Sure.
Okay. Can we have Maria and Debbie step forward into the limelight?
Also known as Hodge.
Madam Amy?
Certainly.
I solemnly affirm, that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the constitutions of the United States
and the state of Alaska.
And the state of Alaska.
And the laws of the state of Alaska.
And the laws of the state of Alaska.
And the city and borough of Juneau.
And the city and borough of Juneau.
And that I will faithfully and honestly.
And that I will faithfully and honestly.
You have to go down the line.
There went the legacy.
Huh? Yeah.
Congratulations. Your name just disappeared. Yeah, I don't.
Welcome aboard.
And what are you now? 25? It hasn't been that long.
Welcome. Welcome.
Ladies, if you want to step up here and just take a chair for right now, and we'll do musical chairs in just a minute.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, our next duty is to select the deputy mayor for our body. And I only had one person who showed signs of actually wanting to be the deputy mayor. So, Ms. Crane.
I would nominate Mary Becker for the position of deputy mayor and ask for a unanimous vote.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to object or say anything about that? Seeing no objections, Ms. Becker is our new deputy mayor, old deputy mayor. Okay, and so the next thing is for us to play a little bit of musical chairs here, and we're going to do this on seniority. So if everybody except Ms. Becker, she'll sit right there. I, the mayor, will sit right here. If everybody else will get up and move forward. And you can leave your books right there, but you might have to shuffle things around a little bit. Ms. Crane?
I'm staying where I am.
Ms. Crane, staying where she is. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, holy smokes. We like our old chairs, huh?
I haven't broken in.
Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The chair is comfortable.
Mr. Jones?
I'm staying where I am, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Ms. Troll?
Same here.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Why, I'll stay here, too.
Wow, what an easy assembly. Ms. White?
I think this group might get along.
Oh.
Early days.
Hang on. Wait till we get into the budget.
That's how wishful thinking. Allow me a moment.
Practice saying no.
Okay, so. Oh, I'm sorry. Guess what?
Oh.
We have your certificates. But I did not give up. So, Area-wide Assembly Member Maria Gladys.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. That one is all right.
Ms. Debbie White, Assembly Member District 2. And Mr. Keel, who are you? What?
That's what it said on the ballot.
All right, you guys. Thank you very much. And since we've accomplished all of our tasks here, we will, without any changes from what I expected, and I assumed a little bit here, but sometimes you have to do that to keep things going, right, Ms. Sika? Pass these down. These are the committee assignments, the committee chairmanship assignments, and the liaison and anything else that we can find to assign to you as members of the assembly. Our staff and I have found those things, and if it is too much for you as you move forward in the week and you look at these things, feel free to come and see me, and we can move things around at any time. But as far as the chairs go, the committee of the whole chair will be Deputy Mayor Becker. The chair of the Finance Committee will be Ms. Crane. The chair of the Lands Committee will be Mr. Keel. The chair of the Public Works and Facilities Committee will be Mr. Nankervis. The chair of the Human Resources Committee will be Mr. Jones. And then you all get filled in into members of some of those, most of those committees, one way or the other. And you all are members of the Committee of the Whole, and you all are members of the Finance Committee. I would like you to just kind of read the definition of a liaison at the bottom there, and that is a person who initiates and maintains contact between units in order to ensure concerted action and cooperation. So I personally take liaisons very, very seriously. And I want you to do your best to fulfill your mission in the liaisons that you've been assigned to, because that's how we keep contact with those different bodies that are part of us sitting up here. We appoint most of those people, and it's important that we give and take with them from sitting up here at this round table. And so if you can't do your job as a liaison in some area, please let me know. There's nothing... Some nights we're busy and other nights we're not. And so sometimes it doesn't fit into our schedules very well. Here's a couple of. So if there's no objections, we'll accept the draft Assembly Committee and Liaison appointments as given out tonight. And again, it's open for you to be able to change as we move forward. Mr. Jones, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have any objections to the list, except I didn't see on here the Downtown Business Association, and I would like to stay as a liaison to that group, if I could, please.
You're more than welcome to. That is an official committee of ours, and okay. So we get added on a lot of different things. So you've got, you know, we've got the different task force that are out there, and the only one that's listed here is the Tax Exempt Review Committee right now. But we've got three or four other ones, the NOAA Committee, the odds and ends. So,
okay, thank you.
That are still going to continue on and move forward. It's just that they're not like these, the official breakdowns of our assembly and everything. So if there's no objections, we'll accept this as the committee assignments and the liaison assignments and move forward from there. Mr. Nankervis.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to have a couple of minutes or days to look at that. Thank you.
You're more than welcome to.
Okay.
And we can change it at your wishes. Just come in and see me. And if there's another slot open or a place where I can put your assignments.
Well, Mr. Mayor, unless I misunderstood you, if I don't say something right now, it's a done deal.
It's a done deal because we're going to move forward with our committee assignments for this next week. But if you want to change, things can change anytime during the year is what I'm saying to you. So if you don't like it and don't want to be where you're at, come and see me, and we'll try to work it out.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I think you missed my point, but never mind.
Thank you. Is there anybody else besides Mr. Nankervis that has an objection to the assignments right now?
Like Mr. Nankervis, I do want to think about it and get back to you.
You're more than welcome to, yes.
Within the next few days.
Yep.
Thank you.
More than welcome to. Okay, there's two other things. The NOAA Task Force, I would like to request from the body that we extend their expiration date till the 1st of January. They're right now, again, working on the NOAA report and are going to be bringing us forward a white paper on the jobs that we're missing out on here in Southeast Alaska and all the coast of Alaska with research positions and the boats that are in NOAA. So they're still working on that. They got a little bit behind. And Ms. Troll is on that committee, and I would like to make sure we move her up to deputy chairman, co-chairman of that committee with Mr. Fisk. And Mr. Randy Wanamaker will stay on it as a citizen appointee. Is there any objections to that? Seeing none, so ordered. Another assignment or another thing that I wish to ask you, the assembly members, is the retreat. We've been having a hard time getting to a day for a retreat. And so what I've done is finally thought about it a little bit more, and we're going to break, if it's okay with all of you, we're going to break down the retreat into two parts. So the goal-setting part of the retreat, I wish to wait until the last 2 weeks of January, because in the next 3 months, we're going to get a lot of different reports, the housing report, two housing consultant report, the economic development report. It just goes on and on, all the different things that we've been working on towards budget and towards economic development. And we really need to see some of that information before we start setting goals again. So I would recommend to all of you that we put off our goal setting part of the retreat till the last 2 weeks of January, and that we do the retreat in November for the informational passing of all the different things that we're working on right now. So it'll take 3 or 4 hours to do. And I would like to do it from 12 to 4. November 24th happens to be a Monday, which is a COW night. So we're going to have to move that around somehow and not do the COW probably that night. I think there was two items on your agenda, Ms. Becker, for that night. One of them was the state small business deal. We can bring Ian in to give us a report during the retreat to cover that part of it. And then maybe the Auk Bay plan would be ready, but I noticed the Auk Bay plan has been being put off and meetings haven't been happening quite as often as we thought. So I don't know whether they'll be ready for that one anyway, November 24th.
And we can move them to December.
Okay. So if there's no objections, and everybody will be available for November 24th from 12 to 4, that's during the day. That's a little bit different than usual, too, for half of our retreat. And then we'll set up at that retreat date, we'll set up our day for January for the goal setting. Any objections to that? Any input to that? Okay. Mr. Keel has just a special, well, he's going to do that later on. You'll do a special announcement on the safety class, Mr. Keel. Okay, thank you. Madam Manager or anybody over on staff, have I missed anything just in the initial hour here?
You did great.
We're covered here, okay? Ms. Sika, you're the most important. Did I miss anything? You tell me, right? Okay. Okay, we'll move on to the approval of minutes. And you can see there's a special note with the minutes this month. Ms. Sika, you want to explain? The format's a little bit different.
I'm just hoping that people would read for content rather than formatting. And leave it at that. It's too long to explain.
I thought it was easier to read.
Okay, the format is a little bit different than what we've been used to, and it is a little bit funky, I guess, in some places, and they're working on that problem with their, with our new computer system. Right? Okay, so we need approval of the September 29, 2014, regular assembly meeting 2014-25. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, before approval, I'd like to say that I think I made liaison reports on both the Planning Commission and the airport, but I didn't see those in the minutes, and I can't tell you what those were exactly off the top of my head. But if we were to throw those in, I would approve the minutes as proposed.
Okay. She will amend them to put that in there, that you talked about it, Mr. Nan. Anything else? Is there any objections to the approval of the minutes for that date? Seeing none. They're ordered approved. Okay, we'll move on to manager's request for agenda changes. Madam Manager?
None, thank you.
Thank you. Public participation on non-agenda items. This is an opportunity for the public to come up and give us testimony on an item that is not on the agenda for this evening. So if there's anybody from the public who wishes to do that, please step forward. Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward to the consent agenda. With the consent agenda, we approve all these items under the consent agenda at one time. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to pull an item from the consent agenda other than ordinances for introduction? Yes, sir. That's on the public testimony?
Okay.
Yeah. When we get to the public testimony, then you'll be able to speak to that specific. Yeah. And you, I've got your name here already, don't I, sir?
I do so.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So there's no public request for consent agenda changes. We'll move forward to assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Assembly action, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move forward to public hearing. And the first item, if you want to come up, sir, over to here, we'll move first to the ordinance 2014-45. Madam Clerk, please read the title.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of 43 parcels along the North Douglas Highway between mile 1.3 and mile 1.9 from RR transition to D3, RR transition to D15, and D1 transition to D3, and to D3, D5, and D15.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
All right. So we have the administrative report. Madam Manager.
Thank you. On June 25th, staff held an informational meeting to discuss the proposed rezone with all property owners in the affected area. No one from the public participated in the meeting. The Planning Commission heard the rezone proposal at its August 26th regular meeting and recommended approving the rezone with modifications, upzoning a portion of the lots currently zoned D1 transition D3 to D5, and a portion of the lots zoned RR transition D3 to D15. The Planning Commission believed the modifications were needed for consistency with the land use maps of the comprehensive plan. Ordinance 2014-45 reflects the Planning Commission's recommendations. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. I'll open this up for public comment. And we have one person signed up to testify on 2014-45, and that is Mr. Cody Stitz. Name and address, please.
Cody Stitz, 5065 North Douglas Highway. Congratulations to the new assembly members. And thank you, the city manager, for pointing out that no one attended the public meeting. I think that's really important to note. So I'm going to start with a timeline. On June 3rd, the Community Development Department, CDD, sent me a letter. It's enclosure one in your packages, telling North Douglas landowners that they were initiating a rezone. The letter also talked about the public meeting on June 25th. No one went, including myself, because I believe that it was going to transition from D1 to D3, as stated in the letter I received. On August 18th, CDD instead finalized an internal staff report, sent it to the Planning Commission that instead recommended upzoning 27 of the 43 parcels to a zoning class higher than was stated in the letter sent out to the landowners. Landowners were not notified of this change, nor was an additional public meeting held. August 26th, Planning Commission holds a meeting, unanimous consent. I would like to point out that it should not be a surprise that the CDD, that it's not a surprise that no one commented because CDD didn't notify the landowners that they upzoned the properties. Nearly a month later, on September 19th, the Planning Commission approved it. CDD finally sent the landowners a letter notifying them of the upzone, see enclosure 2. This letter notified me that the Planning Commission had decided my land would not transition to D3 as the first letter stated, but it would go to D5 because it was more consistent with ULDR. That's urban low density residential. Okay, it's also important to note that my land in question and all around it is zoned ULDR. I particularly am zoned D1 to D3 and have been since 1996. But now, suddenly, there is a change to go not from D1 to D3, but to D5. I have not heard a rational explanation as to why the sudden change. It's important to note that the sole argument CDD puts forward is that because I have sewer, water, and am zoned ULDR, that I must now be D5. This rigid adherence to the land classification system is not at all consistent with a comprehensive plan, and it is not consistent with what's occurring in other Juneau neighborhoods. I would ask the CDD, Community Development Department, to look at several new subdivisions along Back Loop Road and in the Auk Lake area for several hundred homes that are zoned ULDR and are also classified D1 through D3. The staff report that the CDD sent to the Planning Commission fails on three things, and they're quite serious. It contains an overt and heavy bias in favor of upzoning. It did not disclose several serious safety issues that are unique to North Douglas Highway, and it neglects to cite relevant portions of the 2013 Comprehensive Plan. Here are just a few of them. Comprehensive Plan, page 190. It's important to note and recognize the limitations of North Douglas Highway. North Douglas Highway is an access residential street with over 500 private driveways accessing directly onto the road. This creates dangers to local users and those passing through to recreational destinations. should be accompanied, any new development should be accompanied by provisions of separated pedestrian and bicycle pathways. That's in your plan, not mentioned in their report. Page 121, over the years, North Douglas Highway has experienced increased traffic. Increased traffic is dangerous for pedestrians, joggers, and bicyclists. Not mentioned in their report, yet it's in the plan. Again, page 144 out of the comprehensive plan. North Douglas is in the process of being provided sewer and water. I agree. I have it. Appropriate rezoning to higher density should occur when roadway improvements are provided. They've not been provided. Okay, shifting gears slightly. CBGA comprehensive plan discusses several important instances of neighborhood characteristics and aesthetics, none of which was addressed in the CDD's plan or the staff report. Guiding principles of the comprehensive plan: maintain the identity and vitality of the neighborhoods. Upzoning my neighborhood 500 to 1500% is not consistent with maintaining the vitality of the neighborhood. The definition of rural as described in the comprehensive plan, page 14, North Douglas, Thane, T Harbor, and it goes on, should be developed at suburban densities with site design and massing that reflects rural character of the neighborhood, not included in the recommendation or their staff report. Continuing on, higher densities found in adjacent and surrounding properties should be deemed consistent and harmonious with the character of the neighborhood. 500 to 1500% zoning increase, not consistent. It's in, okay, continuing on, page 133, it's essential that adequate public facilities be available. None have been provided for. Okay, again, the entire basis for their staff report and recommending an upzone is they're claiming that ULDR plus sewer plus water automatically equals D5, and it's frankly not true. Page 144 out of the plan explicitly states these land use descriptions, that is ULDR in the case of me, are intended to describe overall character of the development for each land use category, not intended to be firm or restrictive definitions. Verbatim, right out of the 2013 comprehensive plan. And again, the staff report failed to bring that forward as any sense of a contradiction rebuttal to the proposal that they sent to the Planning Commission. It was an incredibly biased staff report. None of this was included as a dissenting opinion. Staff report submitted does not disclose that there's literally hundreds of homes along Backloop Road that are ULDR and zone D1 and D3. Okay. Roadway and intersection serving these lands of adequate capacities to accommodate new development should be conducted. So, I mean, it's just, I'm not making this up. It comes right out of the plan that they supposedly read and are supposed to be adhering to. So, anyway, in conclusion, the staff report created by the Community Development Department is incredibly biased, wrong. It deprived the Planning Commission critical information that they needed to make an informed decision. It's not possible to actually read the 2013 Comprehensive Plan, the 2009 Traffic Impact Study in its entirety, and conclude that upzoning 27 parcels of rural land on North Douglas Highway is the correct action to take. Adding 259 housing units to this area will create serious safety issues that are specifically mentioned in the comprehensive plan as not a good idea until roadway improvements have been done, and creates a traffic issue, again mentioned in the 2009 traffic impact study, and it'll ruin the rural feel of North Douglas Highway and all the properties out there, again specifically mentioned in the 2013 comprehensive plan. So my two recommendations to the assembly: one, I ask that CDD accurately portray both the pros and cons when they submit a staff report so the Planning Commission has a full, accurate, and unbiased platform to base their decisions. And secondly, I ask the Assembly that you at large modify the ordinance before you so that it does not include upzoning. I realize I'm in a D1 to D3 transition area. I do, in fact, have sewer and water. I recognize that I will undergo a zone change. Upzoning 500 to 1500% is absolutely not called for. The very last page in there is a snapshot of what the valley looks like, largely D5, and North Douglas Highway, where I live, which is presently zone D1. You can clearly see there's a significant difference between the two, and the staff at CDD is attempting to argue otherwise, and it is frankly not true and not supported by the 2013 comprehensive plan that has been adopted. And I would be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Stitt. Questions? Ms. Gray.
Would you be satisfied if this went back for public notice and ask other property owners in that area so that we would get a sense of what other property owners feel about this now that the Planning Commission decision has been made? Because we certainly understand your views on this, but you're the only person speaking from this area. So would you be satisfied if we went back and had another public hearing?
It's not my intent that the assembly satisfy me. I really think the failure here is that a biased staff report went forward, causing the Planning Commission to make what I believe is an incorrect decision. I do have sewer and water. I do recognize that I should be transitioning to D3. I think that's a very sound recommendation. I think upzoning at the very last minute, without going back to a public comment and neighborhood meeting, isn't an egregious mistake.
But my question is,
go ahead,
Mr. Mayor, is that we now clearly understand your viewpoint, but I don't know what the viewpoint is of other people in that area. And maybe they've not had a chance to express that viewpoint because they didn't know that the change was going to be as significant as this. So,
if it goes back to public comment, then this entire process starts over. It again wastes more time from the Community Development Department, and frankly, I'll be attending more public meetings and we'll be right back in here where we started. I think the end outcome is essentially given. And it's true that no one did participate in the public meeting that was held when everyone was under the impression.
I understand that. Thank you.
That went to that. So if you approve it as it was supposed to be, I wouldn't have any complaints.
As you view it. As you view it.
Well, without upzoning. I think upzoning is where the problem
is. Ms. Klavazewski?
Just a quick question, just to understand, to understand the timeline. Did you not testify at all at the Planning Commission about this?
I was not informed that the Planning Commission was going to be getting a report from the staff,
right? Okay.
Recommending an upzone.
They did not hear this from you.
They did not hear this from me.
Okay, thank you.
The public, nor anyone in the area, was notified that this was going to be going forth as an upzone recommendation. That was only made clear way afterwards.
Are there any more questions for Mr. Stitz?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, for Mr. Stitt. So,
yeah.
So had you known in the first announcement about the upzoning that it could go all the way up to a D5, would you have participated in the Planning and Zoning Commission?
I would have absolutely participated, and I would have had a chance to voice my displeasure and all the reasons for which at a much more lower level where it should be voiced. The fact that we're at this point is a catastrophic failure.
I'm not trying to get to the extreme point, just trying to get to the issue at hand, which here,
yes, ma'am,
which is that had you known it was a D5, you would have shown up, and then your neighbors more than likely would have also participated in
absolutely
the Planning Commission.
They would have. Yeah. I have several neighbors that I've spoken to, none of which are happy about this, but they received an extremely strongly worded letter that's, you know, and you can read it. It's page 3 or enclosure 2, and it's, you know, per CBJ ordinance such and such, D5 is the more consistent with the plan. Well, while that may be factually accurate, it doesn't disclose any of these other things that are also included in the plan.
Any other questions for Mr. Stitt?
I just have a follow-up with staff.
So, thank you, Mr. Stitt. Public comment is closed for you. And I think that either we need the Community Development Department or...
There's no more comment.
Pardon?
There's no more public comment.
Well, there's. Is there anybody else wish to comment on this from the public? I only had one person sign up. But there's no more public comment. I'll close public comment, and we'll hear from staff, whoever you want to bring up. Questions for staff, or do you want just a general overview first?
General overview first.
General overview first.
Good evening. My name is Travis Goddard. I'm the planning manager for the city and borough of Juneau. And I am representing Chrissy McNally, who is not able to make it to the meeting tonight, so I can field your questions. Mr. Stitson, I believe it is, raised some interesting questions and ones that we wrestle with. One of them is specific to public notice and how specific our public notice needs to be. We wrestle with the idea of, is the purpose of public notice to engage the community to get involved in the process, or is its sole purpose to determine whether or not they should not get involved? We would prefer that they see that notice as the opportunity to call our office, ask questions, and to engage in the process rather than using that one or two line explanation as an opportunity to decide whether or not they need to get involved in the community decision. So we apologize for the fact that it was unclear, and the notice that went out before the staff report was produced didn't necessarily reflect the recommendation and the ultimate decision by the Planning Commission. But that was, as you know, land use decisions and the process often involve evolving projects. So were there any particular questions that or issues that he raised that you'd like me to address? Or
Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Did you get the package from Mr. Stitz?
I did not. Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to refer to something that you might not have in front of you, but it's a June 3rd notice of neighborhood meeting. The second sentence says, the CBJ Community Development Department initiated a zone change application for properties in transition zones along mile 1.3 and 1.9 of North Douglas Highway. So my question to you is, was the proposed change that went before the Planning Commission that the Planning Commission adopted, is that consistent with what that sentence says?
Yes, I believe it is. The situation was brought to our attention when a citizen in this area wanted to apply for a cottage housing project, but they could not apply for it because they were in the D1 zoning district at the time. And because it was a transition zone and the trigger was provision of utilities, it had now met the criteria that was set back in the late 80s for it to transition to a higher zoning district. When we initiated that application, it was brought to our attention by internal staff that the comprehensive plans, which were adopted after the transition zoning, that the density vision for that site was considerably higher than what was the vision back in the late 80s. So the notice technically says that there is going to be some lots transitioning from a district to D3 and D15. What the notice fails to identify is specific zoning, which lots are going to D15. It just leaves a blanket statement that doesn't create a clear picture for which properties are going to which zoning districts.
Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis.
If I may follow up then with that. So when CDD made their presentation, which I was at the committee hearing and listened to, but for the benefit of the other assembly members, at that time, does CDD explain, I will call it, sections in the comp plan that reinforce the department's position?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to reach back into my memory and pull that out. I believe the answer to that would be yes, because what we did is we looked at the density allowances for each of the comprehensive zoning district or comprehensive designation, and then we compared what the current zoning designations would be that could fulfill that density. So that was part of the analysis and part of the discussion at that hearing.
Well, would it be safe to say, Mr. Mayor, would it be safe to say that that is something that CDD regularly does with a zone change that comes before the Planning Commission as they explain the pros? Is that correct?
Yes.
Or let me say that. They explain how it aligns with portions of the comprehensive plan, correct?
Yes, that is correct. That's one of our main focuses of our presentations.
Okay. And on the heels of that, does CDD take the time to point out things that they think it is not consistent with?
Yes,
they
regularly.
Do. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Mr. Jones?
Thank you. Slight disagreement with Mr. Nankervis. The letter on June 3rd, while it talked about the zoning changes, the letter specifically states in the sentence before that that the D1s transition to D3. It never mentions D5 at all. And so as a landowner, I would have no knowledge of the fact that unless I showed up at the Planning Commission meeting, that you were recommending it skip 3 and go straight to 5. That in and of itself doesn't trigger the need for another public notice or trigger a need to notify the landowners that CDD is going to make a different recommendation than what was in the June 3rd letter before you go before the Planning Commission.
I don't know whether law wants to weigh in on that, but again, some of our internal discussions involve the question as to what needs to be included in the public notice. It lays out specifically that we need to do a publication in a newspaper of general circulation, that we need to place a sign on the property, that we need to do a mailing within a given distance of that project. What it fails to require is that we define either a loose definition or description of the proposal, or whether it is in fact a very specific. So, for example, if the public notice were to say it's a 460 square foot structure that requires a variance to the side setback, if it turned out that that structure is 361 square feet, if you actually count all the inches and do the area calculation, we wouldn't necessarily want to think that that one extra square foot warranted a entire duplication of the process simply because we shorted ourselves 1 foot. So it's part of that clarity discussion that we continue to have internally.
Mr. Jones, I might continue. So did you post notices on these properties, and did it say D1 to D3? Did it mention D5 at all in the public notice?
That
was posted?
I would have to check into that for sure, but I'd also like to point out that what is shown in that letter is actually the current formal designation for the zoning. These transition zonings are, in fact, what they are called. They are RRTD3, which is simply the explanation of what that zoning currently is. It doesn't actually say that it is going from RRTD3 to D3. It simply implies that the existing zones are going through a rezone. So that is a further flaw in the description.
Ms. Gladysuski.
It also says RRTD15. So there is some notice in here that it could even some portions of this could go to 15. And regardless of whether the notice was deficient in any way or not, did any of the comments that you heard today from Mr. Stitz, were they not discussed or known by the Planning Commission? I know that when you do these things, and certainly planning commissioners are well aware of neighborhood concerns, even if nobody from the neighborhood comes. So these things are regularly discussed. Did he mention anything that wasn't covered in some way during those discussions that you had with the Planning Commission?
That is a very good and a very difficult question because, in a sense, we compartmentalize our land use processes. At the rezone stage, we do not go back and question the information that led to the adoption of the comprehensive plan and the designation of the densities for this area. At the same time, we also do not leap forward on the assumption that when the subdivision comes in, what those road standards and required road improvements will be. In a sense, we have faith that the decision for the density when the comp plan was adopted was legitimately representing the will of the community, just like we believe that when a subdivision comes in for this property, that it will address the issues like safe routes to schools, road improvements, driveway safety, sewer and water provision, stormwater provision. Those are things that we would address at the actual subdivision stage. We do not ask that those be answered at the comprehensive adoption or the zone change phase.
Right. Thank you.
And I guess I just would say that the North Douglas Highway has been upgraded or improved in the past 2 months with all the work that has been done on the first, what, 6 or 7 miles with wider shoulders and all that, so, and being repaved. Ms. Troll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, Ms. Glacheski pointed out that the D15 notice in the first line, but when you go to the second page, it identifies the potential lots that are going to go from D1 to D3. And am I to assume that all these lots, or most of these lots listed to go from D1 to D3 now are upzoned to D5? Or that's the proposal?
I would need to take a look at the adopting ordinance to see whether that is correct. So it looks like the there are two lots that are going from D3 or RRT D3. To D15. It looks like the majority of the D1 to D3 are going to D5. So they are upzoned, just not as drastically as the D15 was.
All right, but if I'm a landowner of US Lot 2960, Lot 8A, just one of these on here, and I get this notice, I'm assuming my upzone, because I've been in a transition area and it's been identified in the comprehensive plan, I'm going to go from D1 to D3. I don't really have much awareness that it's going all the way to D5.
Yes, I'm sorry, now that I understand your question, yes, that is a fair assumption that they would assume that.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Goddard, I guess I need some help thinking through this. On the one hand, the question of the public notice is significant, and I'm looking at attachment F to the staff report that has the outside of the actual mailer, right? You don't even have to break the tabs and read the letter. It says rezone of approximately 245 acres of RRT D3 to D3. And then it goes on from there. So it seems pretty clear. In that case, it's not just describing that it's currently transitional. It kind of says where it's intended to go. The flip side of this coin for me, and this is what I could use your help with, is that we've got D15 right in the area. We've got light commercial right in the area. And I am perplexed that the next step in zoning would be D5 next to 15 in light commercial and not, say, D8 or 10. I guess I don't understand why we're dropping so precipitously and not using, frankly, something like D8 adjacent to the D15 and the light commercial that exists out there. I suppose next to the light commercial we're looking at 15. Now, don't we have conflicts at those borders if we don't actually go higher than D5?
We do. A great example of that is under the comprehensive plan, you can go to a D6 zoning density by the comprehensive plan designation. Unfortunately, our zones go from 1 to 3 to 5 to 10. So we built in an inherent discrepancy where we could never achieve 6 units per acre, no matter what zoning we adopted in that.
I guess I was more concerned about the density of uses and that precipitous drop-off to only D5. This may not be the biggest deal, as was alluded to earlier. The real issue to building up to any density there is going to be driveway permits from the state DOT. They're going to be hard to come by.
One of the issues that was brought up in our thinking in that is a lower density count in this area will create a situation where there are more individual driveways. By achieving the densities that are envisioned in the comprehensive plan, what we will get is more street and road interactions with the highway, which the Department of Transportation wants to see and encourage. They would rather see the development in street systems as opposed to a proliferation of driveway intersections.
Yeah, so this is why I'm torn. I'm inclined toward densities higher than what the Planning Commission recommended, but I do feel like the neighborhood ought to have a shot at arguing about that.
Ms. Crane.
This is my concern. I'm don't know that I'm opposed to this proposal at all. I'm concerned about the lack of neighborhood participation in the discussion and not knowing what was coming. And so it is that particular concern that would lead me to vote no tonight, but not necessarily at a later time. I know we need more land for development, but I am concerned about the public input.
So I guess, you know, I would just remind everybody from the days of the Back Loop Road, when we put in water and sewer, the argument back there was, what density do we go to? And because those were the first big, long stretches of sewer and water that we did in our increases of sewer and water, going from D1 to D3 was a good thing, and thought that that was all that was needed. As we fill in our empty lots and our lots that are available to be built on within the city and borough, I think that the Planning Commission, the assembly members here who have been dealing with the housing issue and crunch over the past couple years, realize that when we get sewer and water and electricity to areas, we need to do an effective zoning upgrade. That's what this does. And so I would just remind everybody of that conflict. And when people tell us that, well, D3 is what it goes to on a lot of the Back Loop Road, that doesn't mean that D3 should have been the appropriate number for the Back Loop Road. Just that's the way the politics fell back then. But
can I just ask about why not, like Mr. Keogh was talking about, D10? I mean, did you talk about that to get roads as opposed to individual driveways?
We didn't necessarily get into the various options. We, especially because a large portion of this rezone is city and borough of Juneau property that's managed by our lands department, we simply looked at the most appropriate highest density, and how we arrived at that was probably an internal conversation, but no, we didn't do individual analysis for different options that were available to us at that time.
But you just said you did the most appropriate highest density, which implies that you came up to 5, not 10.
I'm sorry, under the comprehensive density allowances. So if it allowed up to a D6, we didn't look any higher. We also didn't look any lower. We simply assumed.
Ms. Crane?
Mr. Mayor, I think I would like to move that we send this back to the Planning Commission. I know you don't like that.
Is there any objections to that? I see an objection. Want to speak to that, Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I believe this has been vetted. It has been publicly noticed, and still to this point, we've only heard from one person in opposition to this. And like I said before, I was at the Planning Commission meetings, and there was nobody that came forward to speak about that. And I believe that it is adequately noticed in the letter that went out that this was going to be a zone change and a zone change up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Any other comments? Mrs. Troll.
Yeah, I am going to support this motion because I actually want to see this up zone go through so that we have more lots, higher density for housing. It's, you know, I kind of support the concept of where it's going, and I just think that if we do justice by the public and give them the due notice, I mean, if I'm a landowner and I'm looking at this, I'm thinking D3, not D5. And had we known that there was D5 clearly articulated, I am sure the Planning Commission would have heard more, and, you know, maybe they would have finessed it, and we might have even had some lots with higher zoning. So I am in support of the concept, and because of that, I wanted to go through smoothly. And that's why I think it's best to ask the Planning Commission to revisit this with the proper notification of D5.
Thank you. Ms. Troll, anybody else? Objection still maintained?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Zika.
Ms. Crane.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Mr. Keel.
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis.
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
Yes.
Ms. Troll.
Yes.
Ms. White.
No.
Ms. Becker.
No.
Mayor Sanford.
No.
Motion carries 5A, 4A.
Thank you. Serial number 2014-45 is moved back to the Planning Commission. Okay, ordinance 2014-46, Ms. Sika.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of Black Bear Lot 3, located at south end of Silver Street in the northwest Mendenhall Valley, from D1 to D3.
Thank you, Ms. Sika. Administrative report, please.
On July 28th, staff held an informational meeting to discuss the proposed rezone with all the property owners in the affected area. The areas surrounding the lot at issue are either zone D1 or D3. There is single-family development in the D3 neighborhood north of the proposed rezone, which would be consistent with the requested D3 zoning for Lot 3. The Planning Commission considered the rezone application at its August 26th and September 9th meeting and recommended to the Assembly to approve the rezone of the subject parcel from D1 to D3. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on ordinance 2014-46? Come on up, sir.
Yes, sir.
Did you sign up?
Not yet.
Okay. Go ahead and sign up. And give us your name slowly and your serial number. No, your address.
My name is Nate Houston. I live at 4920 Wren Drive. I'm here to speak in opposition to this rezone request based on a couple of things that I kind of have some heartburn over, and I think some of the people at the city might also be aware of this. The way that this all had come about, it seems it was kind of pushed under the radar on a lot of levels. It doesn't seem that the rezone request has the appropriate utilities at their frontage requirements, let alone do they have the required frontage. I didn't see anything that seemed like they had met the frontage required. Silver Street, where their property abuts, is a private drive access, not a city-maintained road. It's mainly just so that the city has access to the sewer that runs along the back of my property down to the Brotherhood Bridge Trail area. I don't believe that this rezone has fully went through the process that needed to be there. They should have had utilities at the curb, at the corner of the property. They do not. Most developers are required to have this. These people were not. And I'd also like to make a comment that, you know, this is nothing against the Juno Youth Services. It's the process that got us here. One of the board members who sits on the Juno Youth Services Board also works for the city. in the planning office. I find that hard to understand how someone can wear two hats and also admitted to this at the public hearing. It's not right in my mind, and if it was me, I would probably have stepped back and maybe reconsidered wearing which hat, either the city surveyor or board member. The way that everything kind of got here, it just seems that like there were some loopholes, there were some questionable things that might have been required and were ignored. The wetland study that was put in there was only for 5 acres, and I believe it probably could be filled in, and a D1 to D3 is probably not going to support the development of that property. A later rezone request of D5 or higher is probably going to be needed and won't match the area surrounding that. Right now, as it stands, we have 3 bus stops along Wren Drive and a daycare on the corner. Adding the extra cars that are going to be coming up and down Wren could pose a safety hazard. There are no sidewalks, no curb, no gutter. It's pretty much just a ditch that stays full of water. My son, he walks up and down that street pitch black. I really don't like, you know, road lights or anything, and I don't view that as a safety concern because most people out there right now are respectful and obey the speed limit. Adding this many cars out there, I could see a potential risk. I don't want to see street lights and destroy the surrounding area. When my wife and I bought this piece of property, we wanted peace and quiet. We wanted some space. We chose this piece on Back Loop because we weren't in a downtown setting. We lived in the Bay Area before and heard gunshots, and I know it's not going to be like that out there, I hope. But, you know, we got a gun range not too far away. We like the quiet. And upzoning this to D3, which eventually is probably going to have to go to D5 because the lot is, you know, 2 feet of muck. It's going to take an incredible amount of money to develop that piece of land from what I can see. I see that this is just a prelude for what's to come. I also would like to touch on the 5 acres again that were studied. 10 acres of land isn't a lot to be studied. And to only select 5 of it kind of makes me question why only 5. Why not the full 10? These are Class A wetlands back there. And who knows if there's other streams. I spoke to the Army Corps of Engineers on this. And they basically said that potentially there could not be another visit to the site or study done to see if there is other streams or other habitat there. They could potentially just go off Corinne Bosworth's report that was presented here. And they probably should, but the other 5 acres weren't addressed. 20% of the 5 acres studied were considered wetlands. What are the other 5 acres considered? That's all I've got.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, we'll move to assembly action. Mr. Jones.
I was wondering if CDD could come up. I got a couple of questions. Since I'm map challenged completely, if this is general use services properties on the Back Loop Road, how much of this D1 is the property that I think the Seal Trust bought from them? Where's the dividing line in this D1? That would be all of that property that belongs to the Seal Trust, not to general use services.
The Seal Trust property is the large property. It's about almost 100 acres that the D1 is smack in the middle of it. Plus, there is a portion on the northwest side of Mendenhall Loop Road that is also attached to that property. That is the property that was purchased by Seal Trust. And then to the southwest corner, there's a little bit of the old lot that's in D3. That's where the current Juneau Youth Services facility is. So it's essentially the big rectangle that the D1 is right in the center of.
And so this 5 acres that's being proposed
10 acres.
10 acres.
10 acres.
Okay.
And that's the hatched area shown on the plan.
So the concern by a person that just spoke about developing all the rest of that D1, the reason the Seal Trust bought all that was so it's not developed, right?
Sure. There have been a series of wetland reviews done on the site at various times, including the most recent one in 2012. And what it actually showed is there is 0.98 of an acre of this 10 acres that is wetlands. And the remainder of the wetlands were in the large property that was purchased by Sealed Trust. So where the discrepancy comes in is because there was previous work done, I believe it was 2010, before Sealed Trust engaged on that property, they had done a larger review of the entire property, and they determined that there were about 5 acres of this site that were upland and that were clearly upland, and the borderline was about 5 acres. When they came out 2 years later to inspect that 5 acres and take a look at it for wetland assessment purposes, of that 5 that they were worried about, only 0.98 actually were determined to be a wetland. So the other 5 were so clearly upland that they didn't engage a second round of delineation on that property.
Ms. Gray?
I just have a question. The gentleman who testified said that there are no utilities to the property. What are the requirements for utilities there before this is rezoned?
Sure. This is an interesting problem because the utilities are, in fact, at the corner of Wren and Silver. So the closest utilities are not extended down that little spur of Silver, which is an undeveloped right-of-way. Now, the problem, of course, is this property, the Black Bear lot that is currently up for rezone, was not part of that subdivision. Therefore, it was not provided utilities as part of that previous subdivision. So in this case, the divider of the lot to the north was not obligated to provide neighbors with utilities at the time they were subdivided. The subdivision code, which is what triggers our utility and road improvement standards, are only applicable to the subject properties to be developed. And in this case, the utility standards would not apply because we are not reviewing a subdivision ordinance. We are simply reviewing a zone change. And is that zone change consistent with the comprehensive plan? Our assumption, again, with the compartmentalization of our process is when this lot comes in for a subdivision, it will be obligated to extend those utilities at their expense, not at the expense of the previous development that already has a subdivision with houses on it. It would be the responsibility of future processes, not the current process.
Any other questions? Assembly action? Did we have a motion already or not? I forget. Ms. Crane.
I would move adoption of Ordinance 2414-46 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, Madam Clerk, could you please read the title for Ordinance 2014-24L?
An ordinance transferring the sum of $650,000 of budget reserve fund balance from the sales tax special revenue fund to the general fund.
Administrative report, please, Madam Manager.
Yes, on June 30, 2014, the Assembly adopted Ordinance 2013-11AT, effectively consolidating all budget reserve funds in the general fund. The objective was to make it simpler for the Assembly, public, and bond rated agencies to determine the balance of the reserve. When addressing the consolidation of the FY15 $650,000 allocation, revenue from the 2012 voter-approved 1% sales tax to the budget reserve was not included. A supplemental appropriation is needed to address this. In the future, the sales tax allocation to the budget reserve will be included in the overall operating budget adopted by the Assembly. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on serial number 2014-24L? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have questions for staff, and I see Mr. Bartholomew in the back of the room.
Okay, so if you could move for purposes of discussion, please.
I would move approval for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. I would just like to say to the finance chair, today I tried to squeeze this as extra money that we hadn't accounted for, but staff wouldn't let me, so. Mr. Bob.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bartholomew, please put this in speaking man's terms, what we're doing here with this money, and then I'll have a follow-up to that.
So when the recent 1% sales tax went out for a vote and was approved by the citizens, they approved $5 million to go into the budget reserve over a five-year period. And so there's a schedule that shows how much should be going into the budget reserve. And for FY15, that schedule was the $650,000 that is being addressed here. And if we would have included it in our budget when we adopted the budget last June, it just would have been a normal transfer from the sales tax fund where we collect it into the budget reserve, which we're now maintaining in our general fund. Since it was not in the budget, this is an action to close that gap and to make sure that the appropriate amount of sales tax does go into the budget reserve and then would be subject to the constraints of the budget reserve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The follow-up then, Mr. Bartholomew, is this is not taking money out of our rainy day fund and putting it into the operating budget, is it?
I do not believe so, and I want to describe basically what we've tried to do over the last couple of years by establishing the budget reserve. Is there is nothing right now that we call rainy day or anything. We have a budget reserve with a target goal of approximately $15 million, and we're at about 11, and the sales tax money over the next 3 or 4 years will get us pretty close. That is money that is restricted to the rules of the budget reserve. We also have in our general fund and a schedule that we regularly bring in front of the Assembly is available fund balance. And that's money that has been previously appropriated and collected but not spent. And so that is available for the broad discretion of the Assembly. So this money currently is out of the 1% sales tax that's collected. It's going to its allocated purpose. Let's say we did not do this transfer and left that money and just went to the end of the fiscal year, that money would fall into fund balance and be available. So I don't know if that helps your understanding.
Thank you.
Ms. Troll?
Thank you. Just to refresh Mr. Nankervis's memory, I remember this action distinctly because it was my first 8-1 vote. and we chose to put the full amount toward the budget reserve, and I'm glad to see we're following up, and I will be supporting it at this time.
We all got to walk that path. Any other questions? Seeing none, Mr. Nankervis, you want to change your...
No, I wanted to talk about it, and we did. Thank you.
Okay.
I would move for adoption of Ordinance 2014-24L and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? So ordered. Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Madam Clerk, please read the title for Ordinance 2014-24M.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $17,032 as partial funding for research and mapping of the Evergreen Cemetery for historic preservation purposes. Grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
This grant will allow us to hire a consultant to locate and map graves in the Evergreen Cemetery, as well as design and create a pamphlet highlighting key people buried who have ties to Juneau's historic structures. the work performed under this project will be a combination effort of a contracted mapping consultant, a contracted design professional, the Historic Resources Advisory Committee, Parks and Recreation Department, the City Museum, and the project manager. Total project costs are estimated to be $28,386. CBJ is required to provide a 40% match, which will be fulfilled through staff wages from a variety of CBJ departments' operating budget. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-24M? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-24M and object for purposes of a question for staff.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There are some really cool maps of Evergreen Cemetery right now. I think they're from the late 1980s, and they've been scanned, and they're on the website. And I've actually pointed some people doing research to them. Presumably, the addresses haven't changed for those individuals. How much of this do we anticipate going to additional or new mapping? I'm not sure how much mapping this is as opposed to how much historical brochure work. Or can somebody line that out for me, help me out with that?
Uh-oh, he's taking off his jacket.
I've done it now.
He's getting comfortable. Thanks, in that
chair. The majority of this funding will go to various mapping efforts, and I believe it includes ground-penetrating radar for us to make sure that the remains are actually where we think they are on the map. So it'll be a bit ground-truthing plus some preparation of some documents so that we can celebrate the characters who are in there currently.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have any further questions.
Is there any objections to 2014-24M passing? Mr. Jones.
I just have a further question. Since I can't remember how many years ago my wife sat on a committee that looked at all the cemeteries around here. Is this, since Mr. Stoddard came up, is this funding going to CDD or does it go to the city department that operates the cemeteries? And I'm not sure which department that is.
Madam Manager.
This Parks and Recreation manages and maintains the Evergreen Cemetery. This will be a combined effort of many CBJ staff that will be putting in that match time. So the Community Development Department and the Parks and Recreation Department have provided resources to the Historic Resource Advisory Committee in the past. The City Library now oversees the museum, and so they will also be providing that match. So it's a number of different departments that will be putting that match together. It will be coordinated through the CDD department.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any objections? Mr. Nankervis?
No, I don't have an objection. I just think it's an appropriate Halloween ordinance, and I'll support the motion.
If there's no objections, we'll accept 2014-24. Oh, my goodness. We're on top of it tonight, aren't we? 2014-24M. So ordered. Okay, we'll move to, Madam Clerk, Ordinance 2014-24, November.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $1,800,000 as funding for water main replacement, Egan Drive, 10th to Main. Loan funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, Alaska Drinking Water Fund, State Revolving Fund.
Thank you. Madam Manager?
I think the title says most of it. The Assembly did adopt a resolution in November of 2013 authorizing us to enter into this loan agreement with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this action at its June 2nd, 2014 meeting and recommended moving forward to the full assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on 2014-24N? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2014-24N and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections?
Just a quick question.
Ms. Stroll.
Madam Manager, I noticed that the Public Works Facility approved this June 2nd, and I'm just wondering why it took so long to get to us. And the other ordinance is the same on the same timeline, too.
We had to wait for the paperwork from the state that actually gave us the grant. So they notify us that we get the grant, but then we wait for the paperwork to make sure that we have it all in place before we bring it forward to the Assembly to appropriate it.
Okay. Is there any objections to accepting this ordinance? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, please read Ordinance 2014-24O.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2 million as funding for the Last Chance Basin Well Field Capacity Improvements Project, loan funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, Alaska Drinking Water Fund, State Revolving Fund.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
The Assembly supported and authorized me to move forward into this loan agreement in February 2014. The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this action at its June 2nd, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-24-O? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action.
Go ahead.
I move
Gladys Zuski.
Thank you, sir. I move Ordinance 2014-24-0 and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Oh, sorry.
Ms. Zika, go ahead.
An ordinance forfeiting a $2,500 performance bond and appropriating the manager the sum of $2,500 as funding to complete the installation of water service on Lot 7A, Curry Subdivision, according to Plat 95-3, Juneau Recording District, 1st Judicial District, State of Alaska, funding provided by a cash bond.
Thank you. Ms. Zika, Madam Manager?
The funds are a cash bond that were posted to guarantee the installation of a water service. The original subdivider of the property posted the bond but failed to install the required water service and is non-responsive. The new owner of the property has agreed to install the water service and be compensated at the completion. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this request at its September 22, 2014 regular meeting and recommended forward it to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on 2014-24P? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move approval of ordinance serial number 2014-24P and would like to ask a question.
Mr. Jones, go ahead.
Where is Lot 7A Curry Subdivision? For even a map challenge, there's not even a map. Where are we talking?
Mendenhall Peninsula.
That's such a small area that I should be able to go out.
Corner with engineers cut off, isn't it? Corner with engineers cut off?
No, it's beyond that. Down Mendenhall Peninsula Road, and it would be on the uphill side in the 1700 block.
Thank you. And I would ask unanimous.
Thank you. So this is why we're challenged here, too. So this is why the maps are great, so we can get a general area. So, and hearing no objection, Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have an objection. I also have a question for staff. Will we see any more money requested on this, or do we think $2,500 is going to be it?
$2,500 should be it. That's what was posted for the bond to do
that. That was my only question. I don't object to the motion. I would just want a clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other objections? And so ordered, approved. Unfinished business?
None, thank you.
New business, airport water and wastewater system regulations. Madam Manager, anything?
I think
orders of the day here?
Yes.
Mr. Keel.
Mr. Mayor, I move orders of the day.
So ordered. One way to take care of that one. Okay, I see, and I just kind of want to take a step out of sequence here if I could. Ms. Cosgrove is in the back of the room. She went up and did some training, extra training, and probably got paid for it and everything, and that's fine, for Haynesboro a couple of weeks ago. And we got an email back from their city manager thanking us, the city and borough, for letting her, facilitating her to come up there and do that, 2 or 3 days of training for their staff, and they very much appreciate it. And so this is another one of those things that I think are very important for us, the city and borough of Juneau, to do things like this, and especially with a professional like Mila performing her job and doing a good job at it, that it turned out really good, and I think we got a great big star somewhere because of it. So thank you very much, Mila. Appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
A point on that star?
Go ahead.
Thank you. I actually had for assembly comments and questions, but I will take the opportunity to piggyback now. Ms. Cosgrove was also recently approached by the staff from the Petersburg Borough, which has not been having the same success with its health insurance costs that CBJ has. And Ms. Cosgrove took it upon herself to have a significant conversation with staff from the Petersburg Borough, talked about what we're doing that's working well, options for the Petersburg Borough, how we handle these things. And I had the opportunity to hear afterwards that conversation was extremely helpful to our neighbors to the south. So I want to add my thanks on another topic, but in the same vein.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good job. And since we're adding things, Mr. Bob Bartholomew is sitting back there, and he's on one or two statewide task force, one with the oil commission, whatever it is, and he's lending his expertise to that statewide oil and gas committee. And so thanks, Bob, for another star. We better get a Christmas tree up and put stars on it or something, right? All right. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Assembly reports. We'll start with Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Committee of the Whole met October 6th, and we had two presentations. One was NCADB did the tobacco tax potential increase of $1 a pack, making it turn into a $4 a pack tax to pack of cigarettes. And that was given to us by Kristen Cox and Matt Felix. And that's now been sent to finance, so that'll be a discussion then. And then we heard about the biosolids treatment and disposal, our favorite topic. And we're becoming extremely educated, aren't we? But we did send it, we didn't send it back, but we just asked that there be more information collected so that we have more information about how we can handle the entire problem, not just the biosolid problem. So hopefully they'll come back to us about that. The Tax Exemption Committee will have a public hearing this coming Thursday, 5 o'clock, on the senior sales tax exemptions, and you're all welcome to come to it. We do have a committee who will be hearing those comments on Thursday.
So
thank you.
If I can just butt in, sorry. Quickly.
No, you may not.
The two new members, if there's some of these extra committees that are going on, mm-hmm. that are very, very good, and will get you up to speed on a lot of different areas that they're working in. So if you can make it to any of these extracurricular committees that we have, I would suggest that you try to do it. So mm-hmm. just for the 2 minutes, and we do that with all the members. If they can make it, please feel welcome and go to these things and smoke your brains. Ms. Becker, go ahead.
Just also this tax exemption is not just doing senior tax exemption. It's all the tax exemptions that we have as a city, trying to determine where we could cut, where we can save, where we can't, because we have a slight budget problem that we'd like to get rid of.
Okay, let's see, Mr. Keel, do you have anything from left over from your old chairmanship?
Mr. Mayor, the Human Resources Committee has not met since our last assembly meeting. I look forward to entrusting the gavel to Mr. Jones, who has enough time to tell you when the next meeting is when it comes to him.
All right, thank you. And finance, Ms. Crane.
We have a finance committee meeting scheduled for this Wednesday evening. It starts at 5:30, and each of you have a packet. So be sure and take your packet for Wednesday.
Don't throw it in the box behind you. Ms. Troll, do you have anything for us on committees?
No, just that I had spoken to the mayor about scheduling some time with the Committee of the Whole so I can give a more detailed briefing on the Tongass Advisory Committee. We just had a week in Prince of Wales, and it was particularly enlightening, and I would really like to get more into the details, and so I'll give that report then.
And we're changing things around, but we're light on our feet here. We're boxing. So I don't know when we're going to have the next committee.
Whenever.
Yeah. But
Monday.
We've got it. Oh, it is Monday? And is Ms. Troll scheduled to be on it?
Oh.
So Monday, you're scheduled to be on it. Be prepared.
Yeah.
Mr. Nankervis, anything from you?
No committee reports.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
Two, I guess, since Carlton's not here, the Lands Committee met. I remember when, and I was on the phone, but I think the only action that we took was to move to the assembly sale of some land out at Lena Point to the, I guess it's the some trust that then the uses that land with the Juneau High School to build affordable homes and homeowners, and I think that's been forwarded to the assembly. And then the Treadwell Arena Task Force has been meeting. We've met three times. We have gathered information from both Eagle Crest and from Parks and Rec around Treadwell. We will not have a meeting on the 23rd. Our next meeting will be on the 30th. We have three public hearings scheduled November 6th. At the Douglas Library, November 13th, at the Mendenhall Library, November 25th, here in Chambers. My task in the next couple of days is to try to put together a chart of all the factors that the committee's been looking at to try to make the decision and try to give semi-first cut at whether the current management meets that well or going to an empowered board. We'll get that back to the committee, and that'll be part of what we'll discuss on the 30th. In order to decide how we'll present this to the public during our public hearings. I think those are my two committee reports.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Liaison reports.
Okay. I guess I can start. I did not go to the last Downtown Business Association, but I think Mr. Keel did, so I'll let him report on that. And I don't know when the next HRC is, but I'm sure Beth will tell me tomorrow. I have not been to the latest LEPC meeting. Docks and Harbors, I think the next meeting is next week. I think about the only thing I wanted to talk about was the Stater Harbor bids came in. The engineer's report estimated the project around $10.6 million. The low bid came in at $11.2 million. And so the administration or Docks and Harbor staff is going to take that back to the board to see what action they want to take. The staff was reluctant to try to make any changes to bring the costs down because of concerns that the Planning Commission had, the concerns that the residents had, and felt that some of the places they would cut were places that neither of those two groups wanted them to deal with. So I believe that'll go through their finance committees, and October 30th is the next Docks and Harbors board meeting. And it'll be probably fully vetted there and then come back to the assembly for action once they've made a decision. And I think that's about it from the Docks and Harbors. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Planning Commission met on October 14th. They had two items on their agenda, both of which passed. One was a minor, I believe it was a variance request, the second of which was the Haven House conditional use permit, and that was approved. The next meeting for the Planning Commission is October 28th here, both 6 o'clock for the Committee of the Whole and 7 p.m., the regular Planning Commission meeting. The Airport Board met on October 8th. They addressed the water wastewater regulation, which we had before us tonight. That was the biggie on their topic. Their next meeting is this Wednesday, October 22nd. There's a special meeting at 5 p.m. at the airport on the airport's comp plan. That's all I have. Thank you.
The comp plan or the CIP plan?
CIP. Oh, yeah, you're right. I wrote down comp plan, but it was a CIP. Sorry. Thank you.
I was just wondering why the airport was doing a comp plan. You don't want to do that, Sam.
I thought everybody was doing
it. Believe me, you don't
want to
do that.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, the Juneau Commission on Sustainability met while I was on Prince Wales Island, but I did check in with them. And at their last meeting, they had a review from the engineering department on the biosolids report, and they're going to be delving into that again this Wednesday to try and get some recommendations for the assembly to consider. And they're looking not only at the alternatives within the report, but also how do they fit into the bigger picture of our municipal solid waste. So I'm pleased to see that they're trying to find a way to be constructive and feed into the assembly. And they dusted off their old scope of services for the energy plan and passed that on to the city manager.
Thank you. And just to follow up on the biosolids stuff, did the assembly members get information from Mr. Deering from my office through to all of you?
Yes. I talked to him today.
Okay. Just so you all have that information and that you study it and read up on it for when we start having our meetings again on biosolids. Ms. Petazuski doesn't have anything for us.
No, sir.
Not yet.
Ms. Crane.
The hospital board had an all-day retreat on Saturday. That retreat was led by Dennis McMillan of the 4-Acre Group. Before the retreat, he interviewed the mayor, as many assembly members as he could get to, and a variety of community members. It was, while I usually dread these activities, it was actually a very good day, a lot of good discussion. At the end of the day, the board was working to prioritize goals for staff, and then that information has been taken back to staff in meetings today and tomorrow, where they develop a plan to meet those goals, and that will be coming back to the hospital board at a future meeting. And the next hospital board meeting is next Tuesday night.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. let me start with my hastily reconstructed notes from the Downtown Business Association that Mr. Nate Curvis, that Mr. Jones asked.
Smith.
Smith Jones is easier than Nate Curvis Jones, but I'm going to keep this going. That Mr. Jones asked me to attend. The Downtown Business Association is continuing to work on a couple of its medium to long-term projects, one of which is pursuing the notion of a downtown circulator and what that might look like and how that might work. They are beginning to spin up to speed planning this year for this year's gallery walk. It is their plan again to apply to close down part of Front Street and have a lot more and more varied activities going on the evening of gallery walk there. They felt that was a success last year and could be done much, much bigger and better. They are planning to do so. They also continue to re-examine some of our on-street parking in the downtown area, working with Streets Department, with Capital City Fire Rescue, with JPD. Everyone is proceeding carefully before they start sandblasting off yellow paint willy-nilly, but they are looking for opportunities to open up a few more spots where that's possible. I should point out that the Streets Department has already actually done two fairly close to City Hall here. The school district board will meet, let's see, tomorrow. I knew I had something on my calendar. They have a budget work session at 4:30, followed by a regular meeting at 6 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School. And then my final liaison report will be for the Affordable Housing Commission, which met October 13th. They heard from Barb Scheinberg, who continues work on the economic development plan. She talked to the commission about the town meetings that are going on here, the 21st and 29th, and some of the initiatives that the consultants are focusing on bringing forward to the community and to us. And, of course, I was interested to see, excited to see how the Housing Action Plan could interface with the Economic Development Plan, speaking of which, proposals for the Housing Action Plan should be in by now and are being scored by a committee, I believe, of city staff and Affordable Housing Commission members to bring forward an award recommendation. And I will leave that there.
A completion date on that?
A completion date on the plan or on awarding the RFP?
On the plan.
The Mr. Mayor, I will have to look at it and get back to you. The answer is yes, and I don't remember it.
Okay. Do we? Anybody know on staff here?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Thank you. I just keep hearing about that, and it's disappointing to me that it isn't already being worked on and going to be ready for us in January. Let's see, Ms. Becker, you're next, liaisons.
Thank you. The University Campus Council discussed gender equity, Title IX. The Chamber of Commerce has been very busy collecting survey results for tax exemption suggestions and have made some presentations to us that we will discuss on Thursday. I'm sure that will be brought forward. The Juneau School District Activities Committee, one of the main things they've been working on has been the middle school philosophy, which is basically intramural, less competition, more discussion and emphasis on the whole child and not on competing, but more in developing skills and teamwork and so forth. So it's quite a interesting philosophy, and I think one that both of the middle schools are using at this point anyway, so will be adopted, I think. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Presiding officer reports, do we have any outstanding?
No.
This is the first in about how many years, people?
Yeah.
And we've not had another one here real lately at all. Masika, don't get mad at me. Okay, good. We'll move on right away. Assembly comments and questions. I just have two more little things here that I pulled out from underneath the bottom of my list. And one of them is a thank you from Rear Admiral Abel, the new Coast Guard Commandant here in Juneau. And earlier, Ms. Kiefer and staff presented a bunch of winter safety presentations during their recent disaster preparedness and winter safety stand down that the Coast Guard did. And he just wanted to convey to all of us on the assembly that staff did a great job. So there's another star.
Three points so far.
That we need to put up on the tree. And then I also got a notice or an email from a lady in Douglas, and she just wanted to tell us that it was a great job on extending the voting period for our municipal election. She would also ask that we combine the municipal election with the November 2nd election in the future. She said she thinks voter turnout would be higher. I have also really enjoyed the coverage by KTOO this year on all the candidates that happened, and it was very helpful, as was the position sheet the city sent out regarding the formation of the pool board. So just a couple more attaboys for staff, and while we're giving attaboys, Ms. Sika and all the staff that worked on the election, if you saw in the paper the other day the announcement thanking all of the different volunteers that work with us and make it all happen, they deserve a big attaboy from each one of us as we see them on the street. A lot of them do this every single year over and over, and they do get paid, but it is minimum wage. And so if you see them and you know they're election workers, please notice them and say thank you very much for all their effort. They do a good job for us. Ms. Becker, Assembly comments and questions?
Well, just wanted to make a comment about Mila's work with in Southeast. I think that Southeast Conference is very interested in us always being supportive of all of the communities in Southeast, because we are trying very hard to be a united Southeast. And so to have us send someone from our staff to go help another community is really positive. And so I'm glad that that was done.
Thank you, Ms. Becker.
Yep.
Anything, Ms. White?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet.
Next time.
Okay. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had two things. The first is that Mr. Jones and I were able to attend the Fallen Firefighters Memorial on October the 11th at the downtown station. And that is always a moving ceremony. And I thank the staff at Capital City Fire Rescue for putting that on. The other thing I wanted to mention, you referred to earlier in the meeting. Today I got the opportunity to spend the entire day with middle schoolers, at least one or two of whom have parents in this room. And I was really, really pleased and grateful to Mr. Nankervis, who joined me all day and will be joining us tomorrow. This is the 14th annual Outdoor Skills Program at Floyd Dryden Middle School. And the Outdoor Skills Program is also put on in the spring semester at Zantikahini. This is a remarkable community collaboration. The number of partners and the number of volunteers is a little bit mind-boggling, but it is the short list would include, it's a full Department of Fish and Game basic hunter education course, but it's a lot more than that, with cooperation from the university's Cooperative Extension Service, 4-H, and funding help from the Taku River Sportsmen's Association. Every sixth grader in town, there are also programs for the charter school and for the Montessori sixth graders, gets not only a basic hunter education course, but also additional outdoor skills instruction from a cadre of volunteers. I think I've got at both the Hunter Education Facility and at the middle school, I think we've got 27 volunteers putting in their time, most of them two full days, with about 170-some sixth graders. And in my opinion, the most important thing about this program really is the firearm safety. I would actually put money on the table in a bet, and I'm not a betting man, that every sixth grader in this community either has a firearm in their home or a close friend with a firearm in their home. And knowing how to behave appropriately and safely around firearms, knowing what to do and, more importantly, what not to do, will save lives in this community. It is a wonderful thing that a tremendous number of people get together and do. So if anybody listening on the radio or anybody here would like to help us out and volunteer, we are always recruiting new volunteers. If anybody on the assembly would like to come out tomorrow, please talk to me after the meeting, or anybody on staff would like to come and see the program and what we do, I'd be happy to show it to you. It is truly a star in this community's crown that we do this every year for every sixth grader in our town. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think we should put a a tree up there with stars on it right there in that white spot. It's another star tonight, and we've seen a lot of really good examples. And this group here, there's people who have done it all for 20 years, you know, and taught these our kids hunter safety and just survival out in the wilderness and everything through this program. So, Mr. Keel, you can express my sincere thank you to them because I think it is a very valuable tool for our kids in our community. So, good job. Ms. Crane.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, earlier this evening, we passed forward through the consent agenda ordinance 2014-47, which is an ordinance to convey a South Lena subdivision lot to the Juneau Housing Trust in support of the school district's home building program. And I would like to ask the assembly if they would, if you would entertain a motion to authorize early entry for this program. We have done this before, so we're not setting a new precedent here. It would allow the school district and the housing trust in the next couple of weeks to get organized to move forward. I believe there are still a couple of items with the original ordinance that the assembly may want to adjust, but I think early entry would allow this project to get rolling and get rolling soon. So if the assembly would entertain that motion, I would make it.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. If I could just ask staff a question to make sure we're not hanging staff up in any way by doing this. I mean, I think we all agree that we think this is a very important project and an important program, and that's what's going to happen next assembly meeting, I think, is the early entry thing anyway. So would this help? I mean, we think that it will, so.
And we would need to talk to them about when they need to get in, but it allows, if they're ready to go into it before November 10th, when the assembly makes that decision, to be able to move forward with it with your blessing. We just didn't want to, it wouldn't be good for us to get out ahead of you without you making that decision.
Right. With the approval of all the assembly, can we move forward with that motion Ms. Crane made?
Just a question. I don't know what that means, early entry.
It means that I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, go ahead.
It's for the high school carpentry class to build. We're giving them a lot out at Lena Loop. And because of the time frames it takes us to get all our documentation going and other time frame issues with the school district, they didn't get started in an efficient time frame. So we're trying to hurry everything along so that they can get going this winter and maybe get a foundation in.
I understand the point. I don't know what it means, what you mean early entry. Early before what?
Before the ordinance is passed. And essentially what they're really going to do with this 2 weeks is this lot is further out than they've worked on before. And so it's they have come up with a plan about how to approach this, but it's an organizational issue to really get everything in line so when this passes, everything is ready to go. And
I don't object.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Ms. Crane. Anything else? Ms. Crane?
Nothing, thank you.
Ms. Glavazinski?
I'd just like to say thank you, sort of echoing the letter that you got, thank you to the city clerk's office and the people who ran the elections, also the League of Women Voters and the Juneau Votes and other organizations that conducted forums. It was, I think, very helpful for the community to hear all those. I also had the question from many people about why don't we have elections with the state? So perhaps someday we can find out the answer to that. And thank you for welcoming the two new members to your body. Look forward to working with you all.
Thank you, Maria. Ms. Troll.
Yeah, I'd like to start off my comments by welcoming Ms. White and Ms. Glaszewski to the assembly. And even though it's kind of a non-event, I still think it's cool that now women are in the majority here. And just,
that's
you know,
good.
Put that out there. Thank you. And I would like to make sure everybody saw the article in the paper, which I actually fed them the link to, was about Juneau being rated one of the best capitals
And it's very nice to get that kind of national validation for what we believe to be our quality of life. And it was interesting that we rated so high on dining and entertainment. Okay.
Can you show me exactly where that is, Mr. Stroll?
Oh, it was in, it's called smartassets.com. Anyway.
I'm being smart.
And, yeah, okay. Where that good dining is? Okay. And on Saturday, October 11th, I participated in the 5K walk fundraiser for NAMI, and it was great to see a good turnout given the weather. You know, it's very well supported, very well organized. And since we're on the STAR theme here, I want to give recognition to our police department for their Coffee with a Cop program, and they're continuing that and having their next meeting coming up here on November 6th, and I just think that's a great outreach.
All right. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The one thing I did want to ask staff for, it relates back to Ms. Crane's comment about Ordinance 2014-47, which was the home building program. I read that, and it's like reading a story that doesn't have an ending. I never got the bottom line on that, and I would like a little more information on it. It talks about it a little bit, but we never get down to the nuts and bolts, meaning the dollars that we're talking about here. So I'd like to see an ending to that before we see it again in 3 weeks. And if you'd like, I can get with you separately after that. And a little bit along those same lines on 2014-44, the first one, I'd like to get the nuts and bolts and justification type stuff for that. And I would like to also echo Assemblymember Troll's comments. Welcome aboard, Maria. And, you know, nice to see that. Deb, oh, sorry, I'm thinking of somebody different. Thinking of hockey, Gina White.
I know where you live, sir.
I won't tell you where Gina lives. Rory knows the mistake I just made. Welcome aboard. Hopefully you got a shovel from Lori or Beth, because you're going to need one to start digging out. And lastly, along the lines of what a couple of other assembly members have said, I'm pretty sure it's in our charter why we have our election when we have our election. But I for one, I'm tired of answering the phone at dinner time with some sort of political survey from somewhere, because it's been going on for 2 months now. So if they can't say my name right, and Maria can relate to this, they probably don't know me. And if they can't tell me who's funding the survey, we're probably done talking.
Can't even say the candidate name.
Anyway, for the good of the order, I'd like to see, I'm ready for that stuff to just stop. Thank you.
You want to give the mayor to give an edict? Yes. Yes. You can't have any outside.
So moved. No, wait.
Thank you, Jared. Mr. Jones.
If you could solve that problem, Mr. Mayor, yep, I'd probably vote for you.
Yeah. Probably.
Heard that. I wanted to echo the welcoming the new members and my appreciations to Lori and Beth for the election. And I guess the mayor, Jerry, and I will get into that mix next year. I have attended the Fallen Firefighters, but this weekend I was able to go out on the evening at Egan to listen to this Inner Voices group within the silence to talk about basically the internment of the Japanese during World War II. And it was interesting that Dr. Peter Nakamura, who I had met when he was the director of public health, was there. And the camp that they portrayed was where he lived when he was there. So it was good to be there. And then we went out on Saturday night to see the movie Empty Chair that our own Greg Chaney did. And it is marvelous. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. If you want a copy of it, I think my wife can loan you a copy because she bought a copy. It was just absolutely amazing hour and a half. It was really a good time. I've also been attending the OCBE plan when I can. I haven't been very successful to make a lot of them. For a group of citizens that seems to change, every time I go out, there's some newbies, and then there's some people that are back after having missed several meetings. I think they're moving along quite rapidly, maybe not as fast as the mayor would like. But I've appreciated the staff having to go back over other already plowed ground when the newbies show up, and their patience has been pretty amazing. And my last comment, partly because of the Treadwell task force that I'm doing, and partly because I take over HR, do we have a plan for bringing forward the empowered boards for the pool, and when we might start working on that ordinance, when we might start looking at the membership of that committee if we were to approve the ordinance? I realize that they may not have much effect on the budget process this year, but would look forward to, you know, starting to recruit in January and trying to put that board together. So I was just wondering if we had a plan for how we were going to start bringing that issue forward from the election into our discussions.
So I've discussed that with staff, and I've told them I don't want us to be doing anything on that until the middle part of January or the first part of January. We've got too many things on our plate right now. So somewhere in towards the, which is almost here, towards the end of December, we, the assembly, will talk in committee of the whole or wherever, and first of all decide if that's what we want to do, move forward with an empowered board. And if that's what the assembly wants to do, then we'll talk about how to make that flow forward. In the meantime, Mr. Mertz and a couple of those aquatic board members or advisory board members are going to be working with Ms. Mead on a couple of the draft proposals that are out there already and get that ready to go for when we do or do not do anything with it in January. So that's what we're going to do with it for right now and keep it out of our hair for at least another month and a half to 2 months and then move forward on it. Ms. Troll?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. So when we do take it up, will we have the benefit of the review that's going on within the Parks and Rec Department and hear from staff as to how they think the program could be run more efficiently and things? So we'll have the benefit of the internal review prior to making our decision about
it. Madam Manager, when are you going to be done with that?
We'll be done by the end of December.
Okay. Ms. Crane?
I have a number of questions that I would like to have answered before I come to a decision on that question. So is it appropriate to forward those questions to the city manager? So if any of us have them, I understand waiting on this and have no problem with that. But I don't want to get to the January meeting and not have an opportunity to ask the questions, which may generate some work on staff's
part. I don't want any work generated for the next 2 months.
Okay.
You know.
But if they're meeting, I understand that. But okay. if the Parks and Rec Department is working on this, do you have a problem if we just forward to them what the questions are going to be so she knows about it or not? If not, that's fine.
No, that's fine. Go ahead, but I don't want staff working on this. I don't want us working on this until we get all the balls in the air that we have flinging around right now, which are many.
I understand.
And we get a couple of them down here out of the way. And we're stressing everybody out, including me. And it's just too much. So I'm asking that we just hold off a little bit, and we'll march right through this, and we'll get all the questions asked and answered. If you've got some specific things that you want to ask the city manager, go ahead and put them in writing and go ahead and ask them.
Okay.
Ms. Gladlazewski, you had your hand up.
Yeah, it's about the same issue. I also have no problem waiting until January, but the question is just about the process and when we're going to discuss what that will be so that it's not just if nothing happens until January. For example, I would like to see the advocates come with their plan about why their plan is going to be better than the Parks and Rec Department's plan.
That'll start in January.
Okay, so that is the thing that will start in January, you're mm-hmm. suggesting.
That's all fine. That stuff will start in January, and we'll answer all your questions.
Okay.
And if you get a few in early, then maybe staff can answer them ahead of the game a little bit. But But first of all, we have to settle the score here on whether we even want to do this.
You know, I know, and that's what I'm suggesting, that we need that information first before we decide whether we're doing it or not doing it, as in mm-hmm. this is what the empowered board advocates.
In January.
Fair enough.
Somebody else had their hand? Mr. Jones?
I guess the problem I have with that is, I guess I'm trying to struggle to some extent to answer those questions that remain unasked on the Treadwell project. And if Parks and Rec is looking at the swimming pools, they won't be done till December. I have to have the Treadwell in by January. We're not going to deal with the pools until January. And we're going to be plowing some of the same ground over again. Just soon not plow. So,
well, you're going to give us all the answers, Mr. Jones, and
thank
we won't
you,
have
Mr.
to.
Mr. Mayor, I'm glad you have the faith that you'll support all the answers I come up with.
Mr. Jones, don't twist my words.
Well, I appreciate you at least having had some discussions about it, I guess I'll wait till January, but. Hopefully, maybe I will have answered some questions. Maybe I will have just opened up more questions.
More questions.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Anything else from the assembly? Is there anybody, and I'll open it up for continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Does anybody from the public have any comments, questions for us? Hearing none, we'll close public participation. And do we need a bathroom break for 5 minutes here?
2.5.
Please.
Miss.
We might have to have another.
Let's go into executive, or let's make the motion to go into executive session, and then we'll take a 5-minute break.
I move that we recess into executive session to discuss a matter the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the city and borough of Juneau. Topic to be discussed is the Gastineau Apartments.
Thank you. Is there anybody from the public who wishes us not to go into executive session? Seeing none, we'll be moving into executive session in 5 minutes after a 5-minute break. Thank you, everybody.